Whether you're producing a top-shelf whiskey or something made to be mixed, the process usually follows some familiar beats. You distill your spirit, pour the alcohol into wooden barrels, store those barrels in large buildings or rickhouses, and then you wait. Waiting is the most important step of any good whiskey. Maybe you let it sit for 3 years, or 5 years, or 20 years. The length of time an unaged spirit spends in contact with the wood is what impacts its taste. Whiskey fans know that a little or a lot of patience leads to great, delicious rewards. But really, is that the only way to make a good whiskey? Now, before the whiskey stands roll their eyes at me for asking if whiskey can be made faster, let me just say that I'm not the only one asking this question.
The problem that Bespoken was trying to solve is, why does it take a decade to create a great bourbon? And trying to figure out how we could get a 10-year-old spirit in 10 days.
About 7 years ago, a couple of guys in Silicon Valley launched a new distillery called Bespoken Spirits. The company had a radical plan: make great spirits and make them faster.
The thought process there is, the spirit's sitting passively in a barrel and we're letting nature run its course with the interactions between that spirit and that wood. And is there a quicker way to simulate those reactions?
The person most in charge of making Bespoken Spirits is Jordan Spitzer. Elsewhere, he might be called a master distiller, but here he prefers head of flavor.
The notion of head of flavor really speaks to how we create spirits and how it's really tailored towards optimizing flavor, because Bespoken is trying to add a new chapter to the whiskey industry by being able to offer wood-finished spirits with precision in less time.
In other words, Bespoken isn't trying to tear down the traditional way of making whiskey.
I mean, most of my favorite whiskeys are made traditionally. And if we didn't love traditional whiskey, we wouldn't be here today.
Instead, what Jordan and the company are doing is applying modern tools and ideas to distilling to make something new and something different.
And statistical modeling helps us do that more efficiently, largely based on our machine learning and the data we've collected over 7+ years.
Ever wonder if artificial intelligence could help make whiskey? Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way either. But in the American bourbon heartland of Lexington, Kentucky, this small, young, and plucky distillery is doing exactly that. From how they make their booze to how they sell it, AI is part of the mash. I'm Matthew Braga, and this is Working Smarter, a podcast from Dropbox about how AI is changing the way we work and get stuff done. Today, I'll take my whiskey with a dash of AI. Isn't that neat? Say you want to disrupt the spirits industry and use machine learning to create a new way to make liquor. Where do you think you'd start?
So the company was founded by a material scientist, Martin Yanishek, who in the true Silicon Valley fashion was making whiskey in his garage using mason jars and microstaves that he was toasting in his oven and a sous vide.
Before Martin Yanishek officially founded Bespoken with Stu Aaron, his business partner, he spent a lot of time experimenting and gathering data from his own whiskey making efforts. Martin would buy existing whiskeys and see if he could rapidly change the spirit's profile in a matter of days instead of years. He would inject small pieces of wood into the samples, those are the microstaves Jordan just mentioned, and record how different types of wood and different levels of toasting or charring that wood changed the flavor. Jordan Spitzer got to enjoy the experiments.
One day he comes in and he says, "Hey, do you want to try this whiskey I made in my garage?" And I say, sure, why not? You know, always curious. And I assume that he was abiding by the law, which he was. And he gives me 6 samples. It's like, yeah, go home, taste them. Here's a tasting sheet. Let me know your thoughts. So I taste them. I see him 2 weeks later. What do you think? Well, one was really good. 3 were fine. And then 2 tasted like dog food. I didn't know him that well at that point, and I was worried about offending him. And he said, no, it's don't worry, this is exactly the kind of feedback I need. And we did this for almost a year. You know, see him every 2 to 3 weeks with a new sample set, and then I'd give him my results, and then there'd be a new sample set, and I'd give him my results. And those were the key samples that we looked at to really fine-tune the model and really helped us narrow down those ranges and those parameters for each variable.
Fine-tuning the model is key. As Martin experimented in his microdistillery garage, he was pouring all his data into a computer. It's that very data that would eventually underpin Bespoken's machine learning tool.
The goal was just to optimize a sensory score, appearance, aroma, palate, overall, 5 points each, 20 point total. And we're able to fine tune the optimal toasting temperature or maturation time or whatever it may be based on that data.
As the experiments continue and Martin's data gathering grows, Jordan's not quite sure what to make of this computer analytics slash statistical analysis slash machine learning like approach to designing a spirit.
I mean, I'll be honest, I probably just said, wow, that's really cool. I didn't understand the full impact of it until I came on to Bespoken full time and he showed me the software and how he created the models for that.
The company launched in 2018 with a machine learning-backed approach to making spirits.
There is a lot of work that goes into finely tuning a maturation profile, and we have a lot of different input variables that we can modify. Ultimately, the statistical modeling and the machine learning is trying to help us optimize those parameters to make the ideal spirit. So we'll look at toasting temperature, toasting time, charring temperature, charring time, maturation temperature, maturation time, wood type, wood loading, all the different parameters of whiskey maturation you can think of. We look at pH, we look at color, and then most importantly, sensory data.
It's a process that Martin says gives them nearly 20 billion different recipes to create from, way more than you could make or drink in several lifetimes.
So let's say we were developing a bourbon and we wanted it to have the right color and at least 5 parts per million of vanillin, and we wanted one of the key sensory notes to be baking spice. So with all of that in mind, once we have the output data, put that into the model, we're able to determine what the optimal parameters are to get, let's say, a specific color or a specific concentration of an ester or optimal sensory results.
Jordan alone says he's helped generate something like 5,000 different formulations in their ongoing R&D experimentation.
And a lot of those are not palatable whiskeys. We ran a lot of these designs to collect the data so that we could improve on making great whiskey going forward.
And as they continue to experiment and feed data into their machine learning model,
I wish I could quantify exactly how much data. If you give me a few weeks, I could probably do some calculations. But it's a lot of data, more than we'll ever know what to do with.
The data helps Jordan and his team test, iterate, and make whiskey more quickly.
I've tasted almost 64 whiskeys in a sitting at one point, and it was a terrible idea. We will never do it again. That's a large number to be running an experiment like that. But by using data and statistical modeling, we're able to take that number down, and we'll only have to run 12 samples.
12 samples at most, and they usually taste about half those. Typically in the morning, when their palates are most open. What a living. That kind of efficiency defines Bespoken's business model. They do sell their own line of whiskeys and ryes, but most of their work comes from clients who want their own custom product. Celebrity-backed ventures, college fundraising initiatives, and rock bands have all worked with the company. Bespoken can quickly offer samples of potential recipes, the client signs off on one, and the company jumps into production. When it comes to actually producing these spirits for distribution, the company has a whole other process that helps speed up how a spirit gets made. That's a process Jordan can't get specific about. It's the kind of secrets that would get him in trouble if he spilled the tea, or rather, the whiskey. But he can hint at it.
By taking advantage of surface area, temperature, pressure, agitation, headspace, so on and so forth, we are able to finish a spirit in days rather than weeks, months, or years. And then on top of that, the learnings that we're able to get and plug into the machine helps us improve that much more efficiently.
From 20 billion potential recipes, Bespoken can quickly refine and make a wood-finished spirit in a fraction of the time traditional distillers need. And you're probably wondering, sure, but is it any good? On this point, Jordan likes to say that no machine can truly ever decide if a whiskey is worth drinking.
The human variable is ultimately the final decision maker of, is this whiskey good or not? Because until we have, for lack of a better word, computers with mouths, right? That's going to be a challenging feat to be able to get sensory data that's incredibly precise and accurate every time.
And because humans like Jordan are the final arbiters of taste at Bespoken, the results can surprise even the skeptics.
We'll always ask someone, how old do you think our spirit is from tasting it? And we'll get everything from a couple months to 12 years, depending on how much of a whiskey expert is this person who's tasting it. And then we'll say, okay, well, this one's 3 to 6 months, this one's 3 to 6 months, this one's less than a week. And I wish you could see the looks on their faces when they hear that.
That's Jordan Spitzer, the head of flavor at Bespoken Spirits. I probably don't need to remind you that an algorithm is only as good as the data you feed it. And like Jordan said, computers don't have mouths. They can't eat or drink the way we do. Taste is innately human and deeply personal. It makes sense, then, that for all the power and promise of artificial intelligence, humans like Jordan have the final say over what other people are most likely to, well, like. Once you devalue the role creativity plays in making pretty much anything, people can tell. And perhaps no one at Bespoken Spirits understands that better than the company's director of marketing.
My fear is that if we fully relied on AI to sort of cheat the process of that sort of organic emotional attachment that only really a human can have, you know, we lose what makes us different.
Up next, we'll learn how AI isn't just found on the distillery floor. It also plays a delicate role in how Bespoken stands out in a crowded spirits market. Working Smarter is brought to you by Dropbox Dash, the universal search and knowledge management tool from Dropbox. With Dash, you can quickly search across files, images, videos, and more. That's because Dash connects all the apps you and your team already use, like Canva, Jira, Microsoft 365, to give you a central hub for company content. Once you find what you're looking for, AI-powered writing and organization capabilities help you draft, summarize, and share your work, all from one place. And with comprehensive access controls, you can trust that people will only see the content they're supposed to, so you and your team can move faster, collaborate more securely, and focus on the work that matters most. To learn more about Dropbox Dash and discover a more enlightened way of working, visit workingsmarter.ai/dash. The global whiskey market is worth somewhere between $70 and $80 billion. It's competitive and it's dominated by big brands with huge budgets. Cracking into that business is no easy task. If your favorite AI tool was a spirit, what kind of spirit would it be and why?
Probably tequila, if I'm being honest.
Say more.
I'd say because tequila lowers any inhibitions or like anything that I would have to overthink. Tequila mm-hmm. takes care of that. And so for me, AI is the same way. Like, it makes everything a little bit easier to deal with. So yeah, tequila.
I like that. When Wayne Lindsay joined Bespoken Spirits as their director of marketing, he was already a big fan of AI tools in his personal work. He brought that experience and enthusiasm with him to help the marketing team level up. How big would you say the marketing team is at Bespoken?
It's very small. It's me, it's a manager, and then it's one sort of associate. So it's three of us against the world.
Wow. And is that normal in the world of spirits?
Well, it's interesting because I'd say for most of the bigger companies, they have much bigger teams and much bigger resources. But I think as we've seen the last probably 5-10 years, a lot of these sort of micro distillers are popping up. And I would say that their teams are generally small. What typically happens is they outsource a lot of that marketing work to agencies. But here at Bespoken, we pretty much handle everything in-house, which makes us lean, makes us cost-effective, and keeps our fingerprints sort of on everything that we do.
Why is that important?
Well, to us as a small company, it allows us to move really quickly. And I think what's become the core of our business, which is sort of this B2B private label, having a company come in and say, hey, we want to make a whiskey that tastes like this. Or we want, you know, in Leonard Skinner's case, we do their whiskey called Hell House. They had drank Crown Royal their whole life. A Canadian whiskey for an American band didn't really make much sense. So it was like, how do we make an American whiskey that tastes like Crown Royal?
I have to tell you, I don't know if you know this, but I am Canadian. So
wow.
that I know it hurts me a little bit, but that is okay.
It is okay. We have to share some things in life, you know, more than a border. We gotta figure it out. So no, but it allowed us to do a bunch of different samples very quickly. Traditionally, we'd have to try a few things or have already tried a few things in order to present a sample that made sense for them. But in this way, we were able to go take their feedback, go to the lab. Jordan spit out probably 12 different samples, and we eventually landed on one that made sense. But it allowed us to do that in weeks instead of, again, years, which allowed us to go to market in months instead of, you know, 5 to 10 years. So yeah, as a company, it allows us to do things much more effectively.
How different would the product be if machine learning wasn't part of the company, wasn't part of the process?
I don't think our company would exist. There wouldn't be a place for us to disrupt something. You know, when we look at the industry at large, a lot of the things that cause a bunch of financial concern or I'd say an environmental footprint are you have these rickhouses that are set up and just store whiskey for years. And there's a lot that goes into that. The cost, the tax, the electricity, the water, the wood, everything like that. So we have room and an opportunity to sort of disrupt that a little bit for not only ourselves and our own products, but for other people's products as well.
That's actually a good segue because one of the bourbons you make for a client is called Sable Bourbon. And I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit about what is Sable Bourbon?
Yeah, so Sable Bourbon is a partnership with a couple of the actors from the movie The Best Man. So Morris Chestnut, Taye Diggs, Harold Perrineau, and then the director, Malcolm D. Lee. And they actually were familiar with Bespoken Spirits. A family friend was an investor. And as they kept, you know, sort of toying on this idea of more projects and how to work together, Harold was like, well, we drink, you know, dark liquor in pretty much every movie and every project we do together. Why don't we make our own? And so Sable is sort of born from the shared passion of storytelling and whiskey making. And the idea was to create a product for them that allowed them to celebrate their friendship, the heritage, and sort of that spirit of camaraderie. So gave them a bunch of samples. They tried rye, they tried bourbons, they tried straight whiskeys, and eventually, you know, found one that they truly, truly loved.
Yeah, he says it's the best so far.
Okay, so we've perfected the recipe for Sable Bourbon. The next step, I imagine, is figuring out, okay, how do we get this thing to market? How do we get this into people's hands? How competitive is it to try and get a new bourbon into the market?
Incredibly competitive. I mean, if you go into a normal chain liquor store, especially in the bourbon segment, you're facing competition that's at least an aisle or two aisles long. And that's hundreds of different brands. You know, a lot of these bigger companies like Sazerac, for example, I mean, they have hundreds of brands. So not only are you competing against them for shelf space, you don't have the budget to infiltrate these markets in the same way that they can. So you have to be creative.
So when it came time to market Sable Bourbon, you know, actually find that market, that customer. How did AI first come into play for the marketing strategy for this brand?
The first goal is to create a product and a packaging that stands out. And luckily with Sable, we worked with a partner called Helms Workshop out of Austin, Texas, who created a beautiful package. That's step number one. What they do is they really build a surface level identity. Typically gives you those main customer callouts, what you would put in your Instagram bio for the brand. But there's a lot that lives under that, right? Like, you can't just survive off a tagline. It has to go a little bit deeper in order to convert someone into a daily drinker or a weekly drinker or whatever. And so using ChatGPT to, hey, we're going to input all of this sort of core foundation for this brand identity. Please, you know, pull out a story, pull out something deeper than that we can bake into our marketing or into our copywriting, because we can't say the same tagline every single time. And so that sort of really gave us an idea. This original hook was Bottled in Brotherhood, which is really the identity of what the guys created. But how does that apply to everyone, right? How does that apply to a 65-year-old woman? How does that apply to a wife who buys something for her husband? Bottled in Brotherhood probably isn't the right tagline. So using AI, we sort of built this web of a story that allowed us to push and pull different things based on who exactly we're talking to. And it made that really easy for us.
It sounds like that's work you could have done yourself. So maybe you can tell me a little bit, like, why bring AI into the mix there? What was the utility of that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a creative at heart. So if I had to sit in my room or in my cave and come up with ideas on a brand or its identity, you know, I could do that. And it could be a week-long process, it could be a month-long process. And, you know, sometimes you sit down and creativity doesn't strike you. What I've had to learn is you need to know when to put the pen down a little bit and come back to it, right? And so you can't always rely on that creativity to strike when you need it, especially when you're trying to launch a product in less than 8 weeks. So AI allowed us to, you know what, when my creativity isn't working, I bet AI's is. And I bet it gives me a spark that I might need in order to do the rest of my work. So it allows my brain to work quicker and move faster.
Okay, so you started by using AI to help refine some of that initial messaging. Were there other steps of the process where you brought AI into the mix?
Yeah, and ChatGPT was a part of most of it early on. Also, not necessarily from a brand creation standpoint or identity, it was like, okay, actually, who's our audience? Where does this audience live? You know, a lot of them, what we do for digital ad buying is we're trying to create lookalike audiences from other interests that a consumer might have. So, you know, if you watch The Best Man or if you're a fan of The Best Man movies, what other movies might you be interested in? And sort of we were able to create customer profiles through ChatGPT that gave us a go-to-market strategy or gave us a reason to spend money a specific way. And like we've talked about, we're a very small team with a very small budget, you know, in comparison to a lot of our competitors. So we're not given a lot of room to fail. We have to be super efficient in everything we do. We can't just throw things at the wall and hope they stick. They have to stick.
Are there other AI tools that have been particularly transformative for you in your marketing toolkit?
Yeah, a bunch. We could start as simply as from base creative, right? Like a lot of the times when we're creating out-of-home advertisement or new digital ads, don't necessarily know where to start, right? We have product images, we have images of the guys, but that can get pretty tired when it comes to seeing the same thing on your timeline all the time. So we really rely on DALL-E or Canva Magic Studio to create a fresh approach, right? And then it's something that we always come back and refine. We don't fully rely on it because I think if you were to do that, then it doesn't become as emotional. But what that does for us is it allows us to think outside of our brain. And again, I think really what we rely on as a marketing department is using tools to help us move quicker. You know, in today's landscape, there's a lot of noise online. You got to be able to move really quickly. And so all of our tools allow us to do that.
There was another interesting example that I know you and my producer talked about with the voice cloning. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I started exploring voice cloning a few years ago and used it for sort of funny hobby type stuff. But, you know, working in music for so long, a lot of the requests that we get from venues or from radio stations is to create liners to promote a show or something like that. So I took that knowledge to this, right? Where if we go to a market, we're going to Oakland in a week, we need to run radio promotion ads to drive people to our event. I try to, you know, I text Morris like, hey, we need a radio liner. He's like, man, I'm on set for the next 5 days. I have no time to get you this. Oh, cool. Well, you know, there's a tool for that. And so we've taken past recordings and we're able to clone Morris's voice in a way that most of our ads stay the same. We're only changing the information of time, location. So we were able to create that with AI in a way that allowed us to move effectively with our campaign without waiting for Morris to be done on set. And that's all genuine. That's all real between the two guys. And then Morris goes specifics into details on the event, right? Being able to go back to AI, input a sentence or two, put that back into the audio file. And then it's so brief that most people might not catch it. But for us, I mean, that could take hours of work between communicating the details with Morris and his team, to him actually recording, to him sending it back, to us chopping it up and putting it back into the audio file to share. But instead, this can take about 5 minutes on my computer. So super helpful.
And this is all stuff that he's cool with, that you're doing with his consent?
Yeah, absolutely. They understand the process. We all have to find creative ways to work together, especially with our schedules. So yeah, whatever we can do to move effectively, they're obviously fans of.
How would you say that AI has changed the way that you and your colleagues collaborate and work together?
Man, in every way. Not only together in the way that we're communicating, it's the way that we're analyzing data. It's the way that we're communicating that data to our exec team. It's the way that our outside partners are sending us reporting in an effective and transparent way. And it's something that I sort of instill in everyone that I work with. Like, hey, if you don't know the answer to a question before you ask someone else for it, go ask ChatGPT and try to figure it out, because I bet you can get the answer pretty quick. Because, you know, I personally hate having the same conversation twice when I mm-hmm. can rely on a partner to make communication more effectively. Like, we have a lot of brands that we manage. We have a lot of outside partners to facilitate with. Communication is key. And I've had to learn that in my working career. And being able to rely on AI to communicate effectively, or communicate in ways that are not only more efficient, but I'd say more robust. It's everything. I mean, we use it all day, every day. We're able to move like a team of 20 and we're a team of three.
Wondering if you have any examples of things that like just clearly didn't work, you know, or didn't hit the mark, where, you know, you thought something was going to turn out one way and that's not what came out.
Yeah, I'd say it's a reminder of there always needs a human touch to it, right? Like, a lot of the content we started to create was completely AI generated. You know, create a holiday setting with a bottle of Sable and a glass next to it with festive lights in the background, right? And it creates a very compelling image. I passed that to my partner Mike and was like, hey, what do you think about this? Do you think this is good enough for social? Immediately he's like, I don't know, man. I know that it's AI. I'm like, you know it's AI because I'm telling you it's AI. Like, would you really think that if you didn't know that? And we bickered about that, and we're like, why don't we just test it and put it out? Mm-hmm. We put it out, and it's one of our least engaged with images to date. And so it's that constant reminder, right? To kind of go back to that moment with me and Mike arguing over whether we thought this was AI created or not.
Well, I'm wondering, how do you strike that balance between knowing how much work that you should be doing as a human versus, you know, how much work you should or are able to offload to AI?
I think it's something that we constantly optimize, right? You know, say you have a really busy week, or you got a brand launch in California, but you're also handling a brand event in New Orleans. You might lean heavier on using AI as your main communication tool that week. But next week, you know, I have a little bit more time to focus on what I need to focus on as a human, my human output. I don't try to get too caught up in, am I using it too much, or is it using me too much, or whatever? The results are the results. And if we're creating compelling content, especially that's driving interaction and engagement, then we're doing the right thing.
Well, and just given all of the success I think you've had with these tools so far, I mean, how important do you think AI is going to be to the future of Bespoken Spirits?
Yeah, I think it's everything. And I mean, as we look sort of this B2B approach, we're creating these private label brands pretty consistently. And with that comes the need to understand different audiences a lot quicker, micro audiences, right? Like, we're working on a lot of projects for college collectives where they're using it as a fundraising tool to generate money to put better athletes on the court or on the field. Now, me as someone who grew up in Wisconsin and lived in Austin, Texas, what do I know about Oxford, Mississippi? Not much. you know, I know that tailgating is probably a really big experience there, or at least that's what I've read. But AI is allowing us to learn about these micro communities in a lot more of an effective way. So as we grow and as we do more of these private labels with different audiences, I see it as being an integral part in anything we do on the marketing side in order to be successful.
It's been really nice to hear the way that you talk about AI as something that it's a part of your toolkit. Why is it important to have AI as something that is a system is helpful, but isn't just doing all of the work for you?
Yeah. You know, I've grown up believing that the most effective marketing there can be is the one that's honest and true, the organic marketing, right? We're not trying to fool you. We're not trying to trick you. We're not trying to show you something shiny and then have the end result being something less than what you thought it could be. So my fear is that if we fully relied on AI to sort of cheat the process or that sort of organic emotional attachment that only really a human can have, you know, we lose what makes us different. And I think I would lose the enjoyment that I have in actually doing my job, which is a big part of it, right? Like I love what I do. And if I was just finding shortcuts to what I do at the end of the day, I don't think I would feel as fulfilled.
Do you think the spirits world is going to embrace AI and AI tools in the same way that you do eventually? Or do you think there's always going to be some resistance from people who think about things a little more traditionally?
Yeah, I think there will always be some resistance, right? I think there will always be some fear of giving up sort of that human touch to something else. And I think that's what is beautiful about it, right? There's room for all of us. Like, I think it'll always be sort of held at an arm's length. And I think that's fine. I think if anything, marketing is probably going to drive the adoption of it more than anything else in the field, which is why I look at what Jordan does and I'm constantly blown away and it makes us who we are.
Wayne Lindsay is the director of marketing for Bespoken Spirits. I suppose it shouldn't be a surprise that a whiskey company created by a couple of guys from Silicon Valley would have AI and machine learning mixed right into its very spirit. It's not like they're trying to speed up the whiskey making process for the sake of it. In fact, for a lot of brands, the glacial pace of finishing a whiskey is precisely the point. They're selling tradition and time spent. But like Jordan said earlier, Bespoken is trying to add a new chapter to the whiskey industry. They want to make something tailored to you, something that matches your interests and sensibilities, and that you shouldn't have to wait years to enjoy. The sooner they can finish a good-tasting whiskey and get it into your cart, the sooner you can pour yourself a glass. For Jordan and Wayne, working smarter means not being afraid to break from tradition, but also remembering when to trust their guts. Or rather, their noses, eyes, and mouths. You can find a link to Bespoken Spirits in the tasting notes for this episode. Working Smarter is brought to you by Dropbox Dash, universal search and knowledge management from Dropbox. Find anything and protect everything with Dropbox Dash. You can listen to more episodes of Working Smarter on Apple Podcasts, YouTube Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also find more interviews like this one on our website, workingsmarter.ai. Distilling this show would not be possible without the talented team at Cosmic Standard. Producer Dominic Girard, sound engineer Asia Simpson, technical director Jacob Winnick, and executive producer Eliza Smith. Special thanks to our illustrators, Fanny Lohr and Justin Tran, and to Katie Keck for editorial support. Our theme song was composed by Doug Stewart, and I'm your host, Matthew Braga. Thanks for listening.